And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Well, Tex Mars is banned all over the world, but I still want to welcome my friends to this broadcast today. It seems that I'm making the authorities, the establishment, the elite very, very angry. And I'm getting a lot of warning signs. People are telling me that if I leave the country, I could be arrested and sent to Israel to be tried for crimes because of what I've said about Jews. I've been warned that if I travel to Germany, I could be put in prison for 10 or 15 years because of what the truths that I've told about the so-called Nazi Holocaust. I'm being warned that if I put out a video that I'm working on now about Obama, it's going to be the most explosive video you've ever seen. I want to give you sort of a heads-up warning about it. I'm telling you, 2 hours of packed information, you'll find out exactly who is Obama, where he came from, who's behind him, what do they intend to do to America. There's been nothing like this ever published. Never. And, you know, I've waited to get all my facts in a row to corroborate everything. And there's one thing that God has given me in my life. It's discernment. Discernment of what is true. The second thing God has given me is a great gift to gather information. Now, he just puts people in my paths and agencies and rare books and materials and documents that have never been seen before. And I'm always amazed. I mean, you know, I'm walking down the street and a man stops me and says, "Are you Tex Mars?" And I said, "Yes." This happened to me a few years ago. And he said, "Well, are you the real Tex Mars?" I says, "Well, I believe I am. Let me pinch myself. Yeah, I'm the real Tex Mars." He said, "Well, this is unbelievable." I said, "Well, why is it unbelievable?" He said, "Well, I've been trying to figure out how I could get to Austin, Texas." And by the way, this was up in Kansas City, Missouri. He said, "I wanted to find out how I could get to Austin, Texas to give you some documents I have that have never been released." And he says, "In fact, I really was scared to fly. I felt that intelligence agencies would intercept these papers, and I had to get them to you, and I knew that if I tried to get to your office, they would kill me." Well, the whole thing sounded preposterous to me. You know, and I've dealt with some ringers in my time, too. So I said, "Well, I could see I was in a fix. I was going to have to talk to the man and see his papers." I said, "Well, here I am." He says, "I can't believe this. I was going to go to Austin, Texas, but I'm afraid to. And here you are in my hometown of Kansas City." He said, "This place here has almost 1 million people in this city. And I meet you on a street, walking down the street in the little town of Overland Park, right outside of Kansas City, actually one of the suburbs." He said, "This is a miracle of God." I said, "Well, then let's test it out. What have you got for me?" He said, "I've got it in the back trunk of my car." I said, "Well, okay, let's go see it. Where's your car?" He said, "Right over there." So I walked over to him and we opened up his trunk. And well, I'm not going to tell you what he gave me because he probably would die. And I'd probably die too if I told you. Exactly, but it doesn't. I've already released the information to you. You probably just didn't know that's how I got it. And those are the way things are. I remember I was working on a book called Ravaged by the New Age, and I believe it was two administrators from the Fort Worth, Texas Independent School District showed up in my office. Actually, they called up and said they had to see me. I said, "I have no time. I'm finishing my book, my newest book." And these two ladies, they both had doctorate degrees in education and all this. They said, "Well, God told us in a vision to come and see you." It was two or three ladies. I'd have to talk to Wanda. This has been 20 years ago. I said, well, I don't have time to see you. They said, well, we're coming anyway. I said, well, you're going to waste your time. I was sort of angry about it, you know. These ladies wanted to come see me, and I didn't have time. I was working on my book. And I got to the chapter where I was talking about how the New Age movement and the occult cabal were attempting to take over our schools and exactly how they were doing it. And I'd done so much research on that, and I was right there at that chapter in that book. Now, if you've read my book, Ravaged by the New Age, you'll know what I'm talking about. I didn't have time. These three ladies said, we're at the top. We write the curriculum for the Fort Worth Independent School District of Texas. I said, well, that's very nice, and I appreciate you, ladies. They said, but God told us to come see you. We had a vision, and he told us exactly what was going to happen when we came to see you. Oh, my. Well, there's something there. You know, God does give you messages. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what. I have a very strong feeling that I should talk to you. Come on down, and I'll give you 15 minutes of my time. Well, it turned into 2 hours of my time. These women brought me two boxes, two huge boxes of materials. They said they'd been gathering all this stuff up for months and months, and it was evidence on what was going on in school districts across America, how they were attempting to bring occult ideas and images into the minds of our kids. It was all a satanic plot. Their superiors at the school district had told them to shut up and just do it and put this over to the kids and write it in a clandestine way in all of the curricula so nobody would know what they were doing. And they gave me all this information, and wow. Well, anyway, it ended up in my book. And guess what chapter I was working on? The chapter about education and children. And that's what they had. They had stuff I needed that day. Now, see, this is the way God works. When you get to a certain point and you need something, suddenly it just comes to you. And I've always found that to be true. Now today I want to talk to you about some things that came to me, some ideas, some thoughts. I think today is going to be a very productive day. We're going to talk about secrets. Now Jerry's over there. He's my producer and he's working at the broadcast place, and he knows about all those knobs and little buttons that you push and little levers that you push down. Jerry, what volume of secrets is this? 156. Times we've done that. We had a volume of secrets. They want to talk to you about the pastor who says he's just one of the prophets, but he's going to prison for molesting little girls. Is he one of the prophets? Well, we'll find out. And then there's another little girl that's been assaulted, but she was assaulted by someone else. And I'm really mad about that one. I'll tell you about it in just a minute. In fact, probably today it's going to be so politically incorrect, it'll probably blow the knobs off your, you better get a bag of ice and put it next to your radio set or your computer, whichever one you're listening to, because it'll probably get so hot it'll probably explode and blow off today, because I'm going to be so politically incorrect, you just won't believe it. I mean, I'm going to say things that I shouldn't say. You cannot say what I'm going to say in America. You just can't, it's forbidden. It's wrong, the authorities say. You could probably go to prison in some places for saying what I'm going to say. And if not, well, they'll probably burn down your house. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. So just stay with us, because we got a lot today to talk to you about. Secrets, volume 156. Well, I mean, I've got so much here. I just hope I get to it all, because it's just, and I'm pretty mad too. Every once in a while, I just get mad. I know you're going to think, well, Tex, you're not being a good Christian, because Christians are always so mousy and, oh, yes, and they're like little milk toast, Mr. Humble, and they're always eating humble pie, and they just love everybody. And you know, there's a reason why God made a place called hell. Yes, he loves everybody, but it doesn't mean that everybody deserves to go to a place called heaven. There are people who hell is just tailor-made for. In fact, did you know in the book of Habakkuk in the Bible? That's a good Old Testament book. A lot of people don't ever read that book, Habakkuk. Maybe you ought to read it sometime if you haven't read it. I get it out and read it every once in a while just to satisfy my curiosity. I'm always interested in architecture. Did you know that the prison population in America has just exploded? They keep building new prisons. Went back home, my hometown of Port Neches, Texas. There in the city of Beaumont nearby, they built a great big new prison. They're building prisons all over America. And a good part of the prisons are full up with aliens. Now, I don't mean extraterrestrials. You know what I'm talking about. Mexicans, Hondurans, Nicaraguans, and all these people that have entered the United States illegally, then go around raping, plundering, killing, robbing, stealing, murdering. Bunch of bums. But the real murderer are the politicians that let them into America. They're the real murderers. They're accomplices before the fact. And there ought to be a law about that. There probably is, if we had any justice in this country. People like George Bush and Dick Cheney and John McCain and Barack Obama would all be put in prison for being accomplices to murders and crime of all these foreign illegal aliens that are allowed to come to America. And for a decade, people have been saying, we have 10 million illegal aliens. Actually, they say undocumented immigrants. Two radio show hosts here in Austin, Texas, were fired just this last week. KLBJ Radio, I believe they had the morning show. They were talking about so many illegal aliens coming to America. One of them called them a wetback. They're wetbacks. That was an old term. They used to use it a lot in the 50s. In fact, President Dwight Eisenhower used the term wetback himself. That was because they used to swim across the Rio Grande River. The Mexicans coming into America illegally, they got their backs wet, so they call them wetbacks. But the station manager said those two radio hosts said the bad word, the W word, wetback. So they fired them. They lost their jobs because they used the word wetback. Well, I'm using it today. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Fire me? Well, only God can fire me. I guess they could take me off the air, but I don't care what they do. Somebody wrote me just recently and said, Tex, you've been exposed as a Jesuit priest. That sort of surprised me. So don't count on selling any more books. I've been exposed as a Jesuit priest. That sure would surprise my wife. Wanda, I can't be married to you anymore. You know, we Jesuit priests, we're not supposed to be married. I know we've been married for 32 years, but I got a pope or papal dispensation to marry you. I'm really a secret Vatican Jesuit priest. Boy, don't you know one would flip out? I think she'd take me away to the loony bin with one of those funny looking straight jackets on. She'd say, you ain't getting away from me, big boy. You think you're a Jesuit priest. You'll end up, well, I'm going to say what I was going to say, but you know what I mean. Less than a man is all I can say after Wanda got through with me. Jesuit priest. What are these people reading this stuff on the internet? Jesuit priest. Listen, friends, I'm going to say it in a real quick thing. I don't even like to respond to things like that. At the age of 16, I was saved at this First Baptist Church. I walked down the aisle and gave my life to Jesus. At the age of 16, the First Baptist Church, Port Neches, Texas, the officiating pastor was J.O. Mormon. Isn't that a strange name? His last name was Mormon. I guess it'll get out now that I'm a Mormon. Went to high school, played football with his son, Tommy Mormon. I always used to kid Tommy, you know, about being a Mormon. But he was a Southern Baptist boy, but that was his name. Anyway, J.O. Mormon baptized me. And I was a member there for about 20 years of that church, First Baptist Church. I was raised in the Pentecostal Assembly of God churches. That's where my mother and dad took me. A little while, I think the Church of God. Then I joined the Air Force, and you know, for a decade, I was in the Protestant chaplaincy. I was ordained as a minister by a Baptist church from Orange County, California. Dr. Ken B. Shore signed my ordination certificate. So I'm ordained as a Baptist pastor, but I'm not a Baptist. I'm just a Christian. I believe what the Bible says. If the Baptists have any doctrines or teachings that are outside the Bible, I could care less about them. I've never been a Baptist. I've always been a Christian. I've never been a Pentecostal. I've always been a Christian. I've never been a Protestant. I've always been a Christian. For a while here in Austin, I was a member of the Christ Memorial Church. Now, I don't speak in tongues or anything like that, but the pastor there had been an Assembly of God pastor. He was replaced by a Southern Baptist pastor. I don't know whether they were mixed up or what at that church, but they asked me what I thought about it, and I said, well, I believe what a search for a man to be pastor who God sends us. I don't believe in denominations. I never have believed in denominations. There's some sicko denominations, I will say that. In fact, that's part of the problem. We've got into denominationalism and forgot Jesus. People say to me, well, are you a Baptist? No, I'm not a Baptist. Are you a Catholic? Are you kidding me? The Pope's calling for a new world order. I don't intend to be part of it. Do you? Jesuit priest. Oh, man, where do they get such fancy ideas? Jesuit priest. Oh, man. You know, I think we probably published more stuff exposing the Catholic Church, its doctrines, and the Vatican than any ministry in America. Than any ministry in America. Go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and you'll see we have one video, one documentary, one audio tape and CD after another exposing the Catholic Church. And then somebody has the audacity to say, you must be a secret covert Jesuit priest text. How silly can you get? I mean, come on. For one thing, I like meat too much. I've always eaten meat. I remember the kids back home, you know, the Catholic boys and girls couldn't eat meat on Fridays. I felt sort of sorry for them. We had so many Catholics in our school. We had a lot of French Canadian kids. And every Friday, you know, in addition, they would always have an addition to the regular meat at the school cafeterias. They served fish, you know, for the Catholics. I guess it was okay. Fish was good for you, whatever you were. But I never did like fish. My dad never liked fish. And I always kidded the Catholics, well, I could never become a Catholic because I don't like fish. And you guys have to eat fish. Well, that wasn't the only reason I didn't want to become a Catholic, I'll tell you. I wasn't going to worship a pope who wore a dress, but that's another story. And I suppose all Jesuit priests have to wear dresses. And I guess if you're a covert Jesuit priest, you're probably one of those cross-dressers. You have to wear a dress when you're home alone, right? I bet they do, those Jesuit priests that are covert. I've never met a covert Jesuit priest, but if there is one, they probably have to, you know, if they wear just a normal suit or clothes or blue jeans or something, sport coat, out in civilian life, when they get back to their, you know, private apartment or home or whatever, they probably have to put on a dress. Boy, Wanda wouldn't like that. Sweetheart, I'm just wearing my Jesuit dress today. It looks okay, doesn't it? She'd probably get one of those flamethrowers and, man, I'd be running all over the house on fire. She'd be burning it off of me. So I don't think you'll get any proof that I'm a Jesuit priest. But there are people with ideas like that out there. You know, Jerry, just somebody just recently said I was sued because I plagiarized somebody's book or something, and they sued me. That's what they said. It never happened, of course. That's what they said. And just like they said, you know, one time a SWAT team invaded our ministry and took everything away, which amazing to us, we still come here every morning, go to work. We're still looking for the SWAT team. Maybe they got, you know, going the wrong road coming to our place. We're sort of out in the country. If they'd have called for directions, we'd have given it to them. I could just see him calling. Mr. Tex, we're with the FBI SWAT team, and we can't find your place out there. Yeah, well, just turn left there at B Cave Drive and go down Patterson Road all the way to the end, and there we are. We'll be waiting for you when you get here with a cup of coffee. You don't drink coffee? Well, we'll have a big Coke ready for you then. Coca-Cola, whatever you want, FBI, we'll have it ready for you. Sit down, we'll have a little chat. Don't bring your guns. We don't have any guns here. You don't need to bring your guns. Oh, man. Hey, secrets. I've got so many for you. Convicted pastor says he's one of the prophets. Now, I know about this Claude. Well, he is a cloud, too. He's on cloud nine in a prison cell right now. Tony Alamo. Some people call it just Tony Alamo. So he needed a colorful name. His real name, well, I'll tell it to you in a minute. A one-time street preacher who built a multi-million-dollar ministry and became an outfitter of the stars. Made clothes, designed clothes for the stars. Michael Jackson's famous outfit that he wore for his album called Bad, the cover of it was designed by Tony Alamo, or Tony Alamo. Well, old Tony boy was convicted Friday of taking girls as young as 8 years old across state lines for sex. In fact, old Tony Alamo, this evangelist who had a real hot going ministry, here's a guy who supposedly was against the Catholic Church and the Pope. And for that reason, everybody, you know, all these people said, Tony Alamo, he has to be real. He's opposing the Pope. That's how he got his disciples. Had a nice little community going there, sort of like David Koresh, till just recently when he was arrested. Now he's been tried by a jury and found guilty. And his five victims, there's many more, but the five that they had at the trial there, sat looking from the gallery. One, who he married at age 8, wiped away a tear. There was another one, 12, another one, 10. Says God told him to marry all these little girls. And you know, their mothers and dads just as well. If Pastor Tony Alamo says it, it must be true. We have to give our little kids to him. So he was driving all over America preaching and drove his van and he'd park the van and have sex with which one of the little girls he wanted to have sex with. Over the years, people have sent me stuff from Tony Alamo, said, Tex, get this guy on your radio program. He's a true prophet of God. Oh, yeah. I read his stuff and I could see right away the man was off in his doctrine. He said he believed in Jesus, said he believed in the Bible, but then he said he found errors in the Bible. He spotted mistakes, errors in the Bible. Now, when a man tells you he knows more than God and he can find mistakes in God's word, right away you know the guy is a devil. And it will be borne out in due time, dear friends. It's already borne out when he says he doesn't believe in the Bible. In one of his publications, just recently, somebody had sent me right before he was arrested, Tony Alamo says that Jesus was not really God. He was just a man who earned his godhood. But in another publication, he said that Jesus was truly God. So, you know, whatever he says, whatever dope he's on, and they say the guy was on dope half the time. Well, as they led him away, the newsman called out to him, what do you think now, Tony? And he answered and he said, quote, I'm just another one of the prophets that went to jail for the gospel. Friends, this man is going to rot in hell unless he repents. And I don't know if a man gets this bad off if he can repent. I mean, I know it's possible. Anything's possible with God. But I don't know that the Holy Spirit would draw a man like this. By the way, get this, folks. Listen to me very carefully. You may have heard about Tony Alamo or Tony Alamo. But did you know his real name is not Tony Alamo? It's not Tony Alamo, whichever way you want to pronounce it. His real name is Bernie. Oh, yeah, he's Jewish. His real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. He's a Jew. He's been faking it. This guy is so nutty that one time his first wife, Susan, died. She was Jewish, too. He went to a taxidermist and had her body made up. A taxidermist stuffed her body. Just like, you know, well, you'd do a deer head. Kept it on display for a long, long time. People would go in and pray to that dead body that he had had stuffed from a taxidermist shop. Wacko as can be, but people believed in him. Listen to me, friends. They believed in this guy. And they especially believed in him because he said, I used to be Jewish, but now I've come to the Messiah, Jesus. And they believed in him. There's so many Messianic Jewish rabbis out there today that are nothing but a bunch of fakes. Friends, you'll know them by whether or not they coincide with the Word of God. That's the only way to know these people. And by their fruits. Look at this man's fruits. Now, some say, well, Tex, you should feel sorry for the parents of these young girls. I don't. I feel sorry for the young girls. As far as the parents can go, unless they repent, they can rot in hell. They knew better. Taking multiple wives? Little girls? Come on. Shut up. Don't tell me they were victims too, the parents. They weren't victims. They were victimizers. By the way, he also had an associate, and he's also been indicted for molesting little girls. Bernie Lazar, Hoffman's associate, just happened to be Jewish too. They were having fun with those Gentile girls, weren't they? Molesting them, sexually abusing them. Sick, sick, sick. Didn't take the jury long to convict this man, but it sure seemed to take the parents of these poor innocent girls a long time to discover the truth. In fact, one of them, a woman, got on the stand and defended him right there at his trial. She still thinks he's a man of God. Boy, the spirit of deception can be pretty big, can't it? Oh, my, my. By the way, this guy would use people to make all this clothing that he sold to all these celebrities and everything, and he lived in million-dollar style. He lived in luxury. And they didn't even get paid a minimum wage. They got sort of living like dormitory style. The people in his little commune area there. Just barely having enough to eat. Then he sexually marauded whatever, whichever one he wanted. He's one of the prophets, okay? And by the way, that's spelled P-R-O-F-I-T-S. Now, if that upsets you, I'd like to talk to you about some other money grubbers. They're molesting too, but they're molesting our pocketbook. And I'm talking about the Wall Street people that are in alliance with Barack Obama and Rahm Emanuel as White House Chief of Staff. The price of oil keeps going up. The price of gasoline has started to climb again. Is it because of the great demand? There's just so many people wanting gasoline and oil? No. It's greed by the Wall Street people. And the bankers and the oil companies are going along with it. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to the price of oil in the future, why gasoline has been jacked up again. We're going to cover a lot of things here at Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Have to leave for a brief message, but I've got so much more for you. You know, friends, a lot of people have asked me, what is the Illuminati? Well, my good friend Mark Dice was asked that same question, and he decided to write a book about it. His book is entitled Illuminati, Fact and Fiction. He tells the truth about the Illuminati. The book is 400 and something pages in length. And wow, is it ever valuable. It's only $18, only $18 for a 400 and something page book entitled Illuminati, Fact and Fiction by Mark, that's M-A-R-K, Dice, D-I-C-E. You'll want to order this book and get it in your library and read it. Be a great source of information about the Illuminati. And you'll be able to know what's true about the Illuminati elite and their secret societies, such as the Bilderbergers, the Skull and Bones, the Council on Foreign Relations, Bohemian Grove, and other groups, and what is simply fiction. So the book, again, is entitled Illuminati Fact and Fiction by Mark Dice. $18. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. That'll cover the cost of us getting the book to you and paying the postage or whatever. Total of $23. $23. To get it, just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada. Or you can call us on our regular phone if you're overseas, and that is 512-263-9780. And we're very glad to send it to you, by the way, if you just mail it to us, $23, a check or a money order or cash. Send your $23 and have a little note inside or a piece of paper saying, Tex, send me that book, Illuminati Fact and Fiction. Illuminati Fact and Fiction by Mark Dice. And think about throwing dice. Well, don't really think about that. But anyway, that's how you spell his last name. Mark Dice. Okay. Well, $23. Our address is Power of Prophecy. Oh, I love prophecy. My goodness. I like that name. Power. Power of Prophecy. Not just prophecy. Friends, did you know the Bible says in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ is the very spirit of prophecy? Oh, I got off on a tangent. I'm sorry. Let me get back. Now the address again is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, get our books and all our information, our newsletter, everything. Did you know you can have an archive? You can go back in the archives and get past newsletter going back years? Years. You say, well, I just heard about you, Tex. I'd like to get your old newsletter articles. Good. Go online to powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. And get into the archives there and get some of our old stuff. There's a list of all of our articles. You have a little, you can watch our videos. Well, you really can't watch the whole videos, but you can see maybe 2 minutes of each video, sort of like previews, and decide whether you want to buy it or not. We've just got a lot of new videos coming up. And as I said, my next one is really going to be a blockbuster about Barack Obama and who he really is and who controls him and what he's going to do, coming out in September. But we have a lot for you right now. Well, in any case, powerofprophecy.com, and you can order Mark Dice's book, Illuminati Fact and Fiction, right there at powerofprophecy.com. You can use PayPal. You can use your charge cards, all those things, and we'll get the book out. I mean, I'm telling you, we take all those orders off the internet every day, and we process it, and within 48 hours, they're winging their way to you. Now, I'm sorry if the Postal Service plays around and doesn't get it to you for a week. We get mad at them too, but I tell you, we're going to get it out of here. It's out. It's out the door. So, you know, I like to do that. When a person orders a book or a video, a CD or a tape, they don't want to wait 4, 5, 6 weeks like all these other chains, you know, out there. Please allow 6 weeks for, you know, to get to you in the mail. Oh, baloney. People want their stuff. And I tell you one thing. If we have to, we'll work weekends or nights. We have a lot of orders to get out to get these things to you. I mean, we're not here to serve ourselves. We're here to serve you. You are part of the family of God, and we hold you in the highest esteem. We are servants to you. A lot of people don't know that. They say, well, you know, Tex, you're such a big shot. You've written all those books. You've had number one best-selling books. Oh, nonsense. I'm a servant. I'm a servant. I enjoy serving. You know, it's always bothered me that people don't like to serve others. I never had a problem with that. You know, I mean, when I was a young man, I needed a summer job, and I went over to this trucking firm, and I told them I'd like to have a job loading their trucks. Merchant Freight Company. Didn't have any other job in my hometown. And then these big old trucks come in. They would have these huge, boy, the stuff was so heavy, huge pieces of metal and iron from Halliburton and other companies that would go to those oil fields there in East Texas. And I said to them, I'd like to have a summer job here. And they laughed at me. The manager, he says, well, how much do you weigh, son? I said, about 160 pounds. And I looked over, the only guys they had working for them offloading those trucks was about three or four black guys. And man, they had muscles, you know, biceps. Wow. I mean, they looked like they'd been just, of course, they had been lifting those things their whole life. They were muscular guys. And they outweighed me about 75 pounds. And they all looked at me too, like, he's not going to be able to lift that stuff in those trucks. And the guy said, I don't know if you're, you know, big enough. And this is a heavy metal. You know, you barely, can you show me you can pick up that? And there was a great big oil pump of some kind there. And I tried to pick it up with all my might. I could only get it about two inches off the ground, you know. And he says, hey, Joe, pick that up. He said to one of the black guys, he picked it right up, man, just right over his shoulder, threw it on the cart there. He said, you think you can do that? And I said, well, I need a few days to practice. I told him I'd practice at home if he'd give me a job. Well, he laughed and he gave me a job. And I'll have to admit, I didn't do a good job as those black guys there. But you know, I was serving people. I thought I was doing pretty good. Making, you know, about 95 cents an hour or something back in those days. That was a lot of money back then. I know you're laughing about it now. We didn't have minimum wage, you know. So anyway, when I go into a restaurant and the waiter comes, I respect that waiter. They're servants. But you know what? They have a decent job. There are people out there that are on welfare, don't want to work. This person's waiting on me. My goodness gracious, I appreciate that. They're my friend. They're part of my family while they're serving me. It's the way I feel about it. I know a lot of people don't have that same attitude. I do. If a man washes my car, well, he's pretty good. He's helping me out. He's my friend. And he's doing something that's honorable. As long as you're doing something that's honorable, friends, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're cleaning up septic tanks, that's honorable. You're doing a valuable service. If you're roofing houses, if you're a plumber, a carpenter. Now, if you're a lawyer, that might be different. There are not many honorable lawyers. I have to apologize to the few that are. But you know what I mean. Come on, even you know it's true. Not many honorable lawyers, even Jesus said that. But I know there are some, and some of them listen to this program, and I'm sorry. I love you. And you're doing an honorable job, too, if you're an honest lawyer. And I bet it's pretty hard to do a job as an honest lawyer in this society. Well, okay, I'm just on a tangent on things today, but you know, every once in a while, I like to tell people who I really am, what I really believe. And, you know, I don't mind if your job is to simply go around the office emptying trash cans, then do it right. Do a good job. Be happy in your job. I believe that. The Apostle Paul made tents. T-E-N-T-S. He was a learned man. He was an intellectual. And he became, you know, basically a blue-collar guy working with his hands. I'm sure some people said, boy, you ought to be teaching at some university. You should be a professor of religion somewhere with all of your knowledge. There he was working with his hands. I suspect that Paul said, listen, I'm doing an honorable job. I'm making a living and being able to preach the gospel at the same time. You can't beat that. Now, that's really living. I want to tell you something else, my friends. I believe a lot of people have these jobs and their minds are focused on work. On work and career, and they leave their families behind because they want money, money, money. And everything is ambition to get ahead in their career. And I think that's wrong. And they're not providing a service to the world because all they're doing is looking for money. And they're hurting their family besides. Well, in any case, I am old-fashioned. I'm just old-fashioned.
I believe a man, whatever his job is, a woman, whatever her job is, and that particularly extends to homemakers. There couldn't be a better, more virtuous job, more valuable than a homemaker. I'm not telling you women that your only place is the kitchen or the home. I'm not telling you that, but it might be. And if it is, and these other women out there tell you that you're not a professional, well, tell them just shove off. Do it in a nice Christian way. They don't know what they're talking about. That, besides, they're probably envious and jealous of you anyway. I think they are. They'd like to do the same thing as you. And a lot of them are just little old biddies that couldn't even find a man anyway. Bunch of lesbos out there. So don't worry about those people, what they say. You take care of your family. Be a good wife. And you'll be more valuable, the Bible says, than rubies. I believe that. And I'm Tex Mars. And if I said something that offended you, well, good. That's just the way it goes. Okay, now let's return to the regular program. Hey, here's something that made me mad today. Prosecutors file sexual charges against four boys age 9 to 14, officials said Thursday, alleging they brutally attacked an 8-year-old girl after luring her to the back of a shed with chewing gum. Four boys ages 9 to 14 lured an 8-year-old little girl to a shed where they raped her. But that's not all. This happened right here in the United States, in Phoenix, Arizona, but that's not all. After it happened, the four boys were arrested by police, and they're, you know, waiting police, you know, judicial action. But what about the poor little girl? Well, her parents criticized her after the violence. After she was raped brutally, the police said. In fact, one guy said it was the worst case. The police sergeant, Andy Hill, said it was the worst case he had ever investigated. It wasn't just sexual assault. It was brutal. By four boys holding her down. And then her filthy, dirty, evil, wicked parents. You know what they said? They said it was her that brought shame on the family. It was her that brought shame on the family. Now, let me explain this. All the five children, it says, come from the West African nation of Liberia. They're Africans. Some more of those immigrants, right? From Africa this time, Liberia. They said in their nation, when a girl gets raped, it's her fault. The father of this little girl said, the boys, they were just doing boy things. It's her fault. I wish I had a big stick and God gave me the authority to go after that father. I'd beat that man senseless. And after I got through with him, I'd beat the girl's mother because she agreed with him. And then I wouldn't stop there. I'd take those four boys, aged 9 to 14, and I'd put a whooping on them, as we used to call it back home. And then I'd take their parents, I'd put a whooping on them too. And then I'd put them all in a boat and send them back to Africa. Get out of America. When a little girl is raped here by four boys older than her, it's not her fault. And second of all, if you don't like our culture, then get back to Africa. Do whatever you want there. You want to serve the devil, but you're not going to serve the devil while you're in my country. I'm tired of these foreigners. If you don't like Christian values, then go live in Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia, but don't stay in America. I'm sick and tired of you. Do you hear me, Muslims? I read about these Muslims that kill their daughters because they date Christians or something like that here in America. You brought shame to our family, and then they kill their own daughters. These people shouldn't be living in America. They don't deserve to be here. They're serving devil gods in India, Pakistan, tribal devil gods in Africa. Go back there and serve those gods. If you want to go to hell, if you come to America, you play by our rules. And these parents, did you know they said they refused to have the girl come back home with them? They never want to see her again, they said. The police had to take the poor girl in tears away. Now social services keeping her, trying to find a foster home for her. Good for her. I hope she finds a good Christian foster home. Pray for this young victim. She's at Child Protective Services now after her parents blamed her for the rapes and for bringing shame to the family. That's the way they do in those Arab countries too. A woman gets raped and the Muslims in Afghanistan and Pakistan and other places blame the woman. And they take her out and stone her to death after she's already been raped and marauded against. What kind of justice is that? That's hell's justice. Well, Tex, that doesn't sound like you appreciate multiculturalism. Shut up! I don't. I believe in one culture. It's called the Word of God. This family that shunned this girl says here in this article, I'm reading the Associated Press, it says, in many parts of Africa, women are blamed for being raped, for simply being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Girls who are raped are often then shunned by their families. Yeah. How do they find out about this? Well, Phoenix investigator says the boys lured the girl to an empty shed July 16th under the pretense of offering her chewing gum. Officers responding to an emergency call reported hearing hysterical screams. They rushed to the scene and found the girl partially clothed and the boys running from the scene. Okay. Next thing. I was recently reading, somebody sends me a little newsletter, a newspaper, Anza Valley Outlook. I don't even know where Anza Valley is, but they send it to me and I always appreciate it. I think it's in New Mexico somewhere. Let's see. Oh, well. Is it in California? Maybe it is. Yeah, I think so. I don't know why they don't tell me where this paper comes from. But in any case, Hemet, H-E-M-E-T. Is that in California? I think it is. And there's a town, Murrieta, and a Temecula. All those little towns, I think, in California. Well, a lot going on there in California. Listen to this article. This is one newspaper that they sent me, Valley News newspaper. They're in California, from Hemet, California. Hemet knife fight kills one man, wounds another. A brawl involving as many 50 people outside the Wheelhouse Sport and Skate Center early Sunday ended with one man fatally stabbed and at least one injured by knife wounds. Police said that they encountered about 50 angry and unruly subjects. A group of Hispanic men were apparently squared off against a group of black men. 50 people were out there fighting, and one was killed, one was wounded. Police had to use pepper ball guns, it says, on the belligerent crowd to attempt to restore order. This is in America. Hispanics fighting blacks. Now, I'm not going to say who was right or wrong in this, but I want to tell you something, friends. I'll bet most of the Hispanics should never have been here in the first place. You know it. I know it. They were illegal aliens. Well, let's see now. Let's go on to something else. From the little town of French Valley there in California, here's another item. Dog dies after being slam dunked by accused felon. A 44-year-old felon accused of slamming an already injured Chihuahua puppy to the ground was jailed last week for failing to appear for a preliminary hearing on criminal animal abuse and neglect charges. Javier Rodriguez Garza of San Jacinto was arrested and booked into the Southwest Justice Center. He was charged with a felony count of cruelty to an animal after it was reported that the Chihuahua was slam dunked to the ground. The 10-week-old male puppy had three of its four legs broken and was yelping when the police came. Garza pleaded not guilty to the charges, although he admitted that he had done something to the dog. Police noted that he had a long criminal record and had been recently charged with another felony for which he was awaiting trial. What was he out for? Meanwhile, here's another story. Seems that four alleged white supremacists beat a Latino so badly at a Hemet trailer park that he suffered brain injuries, and now they've got to stand trial on felony charges. Four alleged white supremacists. Then here's another one, another story. A 21-year-old motorist on parole who fled after fatally striking a woman as she crossed a Hemet, California street just 2 weeks after he had gotten out of prison, pleaded guilty last week to gross vehicular manslaughter. Now get that. He was on parole. He just got out of prison and he fatally struck a woman with his car and killed her. Hit and run after fleeing the scene. Boy. By the way, he has a Hispanic name also. Doesn't that make you feel real good? Here's another story. This is the little bitty California towns from Temecula. Two men barge into a room at the Ramada Old Town Temecula Motel last week and beat up and tied guests before fleeing with an undisclosed amount of money. The robbery occurred before 7 a.m. at the motel, the 28,000 block of Old Town Front Street. Goodness. The guest of the hotel, one guest of the hotel said when he opened his doors, the suspects rushed and knocked him down, took his money and belongings and left. Suspects were Latinos, blah, blah, blah. Here's another one. This little town from French Valley, California. Jury selection began Tuesday for one of two teenage girls accused of killing a motorist for her car so they could get to Disneyland theme park. And then they, after killing the woman who had given them a ride, they were hitchhiking, they turned around and killed her. Thank you for your generosity, ma'am. Now we're going to kill you. These two young girls, 17 and 15, Diana Cordova and Anna Salinas, 17 and 15 years of age, shot to death Angelina Arias. And then they took their victim's baby that she had in the car and just left it on a doorstep. Then they drove her car to Disneyland and enjoyed the day at the theme park. Now I could go on reading there at Anza Valley, July 23rd, 2009. What's going on there? This is just one little area of America. Can you imagine how many drugs, alcohol, meth heads are in those places? Friends, most of these people are illegal aliens, should never have been here in the first place. No wonder California's gone bankrupt. They're spending all this money for these illegal aliens and nothing for the citizens. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now we go off on something else. Send them all home. Don't let them here in the first place. And if they come here, I'm telling you, friends, we need to get tough on these people. And don't put them out on bail. They'll never show up for the trial. Why should they? You don't even know their real names. I'm Jose Rodriguez. Oh, shut up. Your real name is Luis Gomez. You don't have any identification. Now back to the oil thing. Let's go to something where I won't get so mad today. Well, I am going to get mad. Price of oil per barrel has gone from $32 a barrel to $71. It's over doubled in the last 6 weeks. What's going on? Well, here's what's going on. It says here, OPEC is concerned. That's all these foreign nations that own the oil. Because oil prices keep going up, but there's no demand. While the space to store the oil around the world has run out, the Wall Street Journal reports. Did you get that? The price of oil per barrel, and now at the gasoline pump again, is going up, up, up. It's doubled in 6 weeks. Meanwhile, there is no demand for it. People are driving less and less and less. Airlines report their airline flights are down 21%. And there's so much oil. There's such an oil and gasoline glut that they don't have any more places anywhere in the world to store it. Now, I'm reading here. The Associated Press says, in the past few weeks, the price of oil has ticked higher and higher. Yet stockpiles of diesel, heating, and other oil and distillates in the United States are the highest they have been for 25 years. Demand for oil isn't coming back and supplies are growing. I'm reading right here. I'm just reading it. As the supply of oil grows, the room to store it is running out. Almost every available location for storing oil is stuffed to the gills.
at some point, how can the price of oil go up? Double, in fact, and now it's rising at the gasoline pump when nobody wants it, and the oil that's being produced. I got online and I discovered, I went to all these shipping companies that own these big tanker ships. They say they've never had so many tankers full of oil, but there's no places to deliver it. The oil companies and producers are paying them for parking their tankers out in the waters. There's millions and millions and millions of barrels of oil sitting in tankers that are full, and tanks. Everywhere there's a storage tank, it's brimming with oil right now. But why don't they get it to the oil market and lower the price of gasoline? If there's so much gasoline, why can't we? Remember, McCain and Palin lied to you. We've got to drill, drill, drill. Friends, you don't have to drill. There's so much oil. There's an oil glut. They just have driven up the price. They keep raising the price and gouging you. And the more they raise the price, the less you can buy. And so they're trying to store it. It says here that there might be a problem with this. Eventually, the price of oil may crash when they run out of places to store it. Friends, these people are crooks, corrupt. Now, guess who is running the oil markets, most of them? Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. They run the International Commodities Exchange of London and New York. And they and their pals have been running up the price. These are bankers, 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 Wall Street bankers, Rahm Emanuel's friends, Barack Obama's friends. They're driving up the price of gasoline and oil. And they've got so much oil in the world, they don't have any place to put it. And they've already turned off the spigots. Did you know that Exxon has admitted here in the state of Texas, they're closing up oil fields and oil wells left and right. And now they're about to be sued by the state of Texas for $1 billion because they put huge chunks of concrete and everything to junk the oil drilling sites so that nobody can ever use them again. There's too much oil in the world. It's coming out our ears. Gasoline should sell for a dime a gallon at the pump, but it never will. It's fixed. It's fixed. It's fixed. I deserve to be mad, don't I? But let me tell you something, friends. There's a silver lining to everything. I've pointed you and your little internal mirrors to the world. But there's another reality. His name is Jesus. He calms the mind. You know what I'm going to do? Tonight, I'm going to get out my Bible and I'm going to read the Gospels again. And that always calms me down. It makes me feel a lot better because I know this world isn't going to be here long, but I know where I'm going forever and ever. And I trust in him. His name is Jesus. He can save you. He's the only hope of this whole world. And thank God I'm going to keep my mind directed at him. These things are transitory. They're passing. They make us mad because they're corrupt. Because any true Christian gets angry at unrighteousness and wickedness and lying and cheating and robbing and killing. But we know there will come a payday when the evil forces will have to pay the penalty for what they've done to you, to me, to children, to wives, and to this whole world. It's been my great pleasure being with you, and my prayer, dear friends, is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.